This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome in. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. If you've been busy working all day or just jumping in your car, of course, we're talking Cowboys Monday stuff with you.
They lost.
All the topics.
They lost, guys.
Yeah.
You didn't see it.
Allegedly.
If you didn't see it, they did not win.
I just want to say thanks to the Cowboys for a good season and an absolutely exhilarating final 7 or 8 minutes. There was a moment in the second quarter that I got fired up for about 5 minutes. And then until other than that, it was frustrating and maddening. I felt like that lady who was caught on TV, who was so disappointed. But then it made me feel more alive watching sports than at any time, I think, since 2016. We haven't had a lot to get excited about. Yesterday was amazing. And it was fun to be reminded of exactly how riveting playoff football can be when you think your team has a chance to win, especially in the closing moments like that. But still, no doubt, massive disappointment. We need at least three of those. Can I get at least three of those? I'll settle for four in a January/February in the time to come. But anyway, we're talking Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral about America's team. Great leadership and defeat from Dak after the game going viral. Micah Parsons, here's the quote that went viral. We'll give you the audio on Dak leading the team and what was said after the game.
Dak didn't say much. He kind of went to everybody individually. But, I think Dak leads this team great all the time. Whether things go right or things go wrong, Dak never puts his head down. His demeanor is always great. And even as a rookie, Dak taught me something. And it was when I first came in to OTAs, dog tired. Said, and I'm in my locker room kind of like lumped down. And, Dak came up to me. Yeah, at that time, no one knew what I could possibly be, but came up to me anyway and said, lift your head up. You want to show a better example than anything out there. So, I mean, it just speaks volumes to the type of person Dak is, regardless if you are an important piece, if you're not. But Dak thinks everybody's equal. I mean, he even came into the locker room and said, hey, let's everybody throw $500 in. So, because the practice squad don't get the same check. That's the type of person Dak is. I mean, he leads on and off the field, and it's the little things with him. And I don't think I'd rather have anybody lead me besides Dak. I mean, Dak is like a big brother to me. I mean, he took me under his wing early on. I mean, I kind of look at him like my big brother. So I always appreciate Dak, and, I can't wait to go to battle with him some more over the next couple of years.
I thought that was a great story, passing the hat for the guys on the practice team and all that. I just thought a feel-good type of thing, knowing you can be proud of your guys. It sucks when you lose and you have S-heads on your team and they're a bunch of jerks. You can be proud of that. I would prefer slightly lesser humans winning, just to be clear on that.
Take Aaron Rodgers, I guess.
I mean, but there's nothing worse when you lose with bad people, and that's clearly not what happened. I think the question is, and Brian had a great line last night, like, you can say all the right things, but we need you to win. We need you to play better, really.
Yeah.
And this stuff does give you confidence that, hey, leadership's not a problem. I can feel proud about pulling for this guy, hell of a human being. But, I think some people will fire back and say, but what's it really get you?
I appreciate you listening last night, too, by the way.
Oh, it's a great show.
But, that's the thing about it is, job is to win, and you could be a good guy and win. You could be a good guy and lose. But, the bottom line in this thing is, and I the thing I really appreciated about Parsons his first year, it seems like he's picked up so much along the way. And maybe next year – then he becomes the guy that, you know,
even better.
Well, even better, but the guy that, like, when it comes to, okay, who is the guy on the defense? You know, I mean, for so many years, it's been, well, Tank's that guy, Tank, you know, all that stuff. Man, this might not be Tank's team anymore. This might be Micah Parsons' team on defense next. It might be Micah Parsons' team, you know, him and Dak and those guys. I mean, that's kind of where you think this thing might go with Micah Parsons, because he's picked up so much along the way. You could tell the way that they lost that game or what happened, it bothered him. There's guys you can listen to them talk, and they're just, you know, it's they're gutted. Yeah. They're gutted because they give it everything they had.
He was feeling the full gravity of it.
He was. And yeah. You know, and that's the thing, he just, you know, that's his first taste. I mean, first year in the league, that's his first taste of the playoffs right there.
Yeah.
You know, and then now he's going to go in the offseason thinking,
yeah,
okay, I don't want to feel like this anymore.
Well, I feel like between those two guys, you have incredible leadership on both sides of the ball. They really care about winning. They're not saying stupid stuff like, well, if this is the worst it ever gets, my life is going to be okay. You know, Dak was just talking about how it's just unreal and it's very difficult to accept. I think that is the right response, but you want better play. 704, listen to Orlovsky. He have several plays where the wide receivers were absolutely open and Dak missed the play. Yeah, I think that's what, you know, media and the team has to do in the offseason, really, to set up next year. If guys are open and it's just too chaotic for him to see those guys where other quarterbacks would, then maybe the end could be near. You know, I think after you've made it this long in football, it's shocking if things suddenly turn against you, but it has happened. You know, and Dak wouldn't be the first one to, late in the 20s, the NFL starts to get a beat on exactly how to confuse you.
Yeah, I think they got a beat on what's going on with the OC. But, you know, I've said, hey, I'd bring him back. But, again, he needs help. Dak needs help. The whole offense needs – I mean, that offensive line, that there's – you talked about it, Joe Philbin. I mean
– yeah, he's got to go.
Well, we were praising him for what he was able to do with Steele.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They're playing with Steele. This is, you know – and then it's just like at the halfway point, this team just forgot how to play offensive football.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the inability to coach the penalties away and the inability to keep this offensive line going in the right direction after such a strong track record, I think, is quite damning for the O-line coach and maybe the OC as well. John Mishota, Cowboys VP Stephen Jones, very confident Mike McCarthy will remain Dallas Cowboys head coach, quote, absolutely. Is that 100%er at this point, Jeff?
No, Gavin. No,
okay.
No.
Why not?
Because Jerry's moved his interview tomorrow, which means that who knows? Just means who knows. I would imagine that Mike McCarthy is the head coach, but I'm open to the eyebrow raise when Jerry Jones is like, hey, I need to move this around. I'm open to the idea that it could mean something. So it's more 91% that McCarthy's the guy.
Do you think it's Jerry's opportunity to get to talk to Mike one-on-one after all the exit interviews and stuff today?
Maybe, yeah.
That might be Mike seems like a pretty early morning guy. You know, he does that.
Yeah,
does a show with us. I believe like 6:30 in the morning, kind of a thing. He's always talking about, oh, I'd practice earlier if they let me, kind of a thing.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's an opportunity for him and Jerry. Like you say, you know, today is a rough day. It's green trash bag day. Everybody's getting their stuff and leaving. So maybe he's giving them the opportunity to kind of finish all that out, and then they'll sit down and one on one. And that's maybe during the time when he's supposed to meet with Sean and RJ.
Or maybe it is a very fluid situation. It's not a bad day for Jerry. I don't think he's canceling. He's just pushing it back a little bit.
He is pushing it back. But let me ask you this, though. You think that he's maybe asking Steven the questions about, did you really go on air and say that? We'll bring that guy back?
Hey, Steve.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, you know, you wonder sometimes.
I'm putting Jerry Jr. on the air now.
Steven said it with a lot of confidence. So I'm not. But I'm just wondering if Jerry, because last night you didn't get that feeling from Jerry.
Yeah.
Usually Jerry is very much a, you know, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. No, Mike's coming back. Definitely coming back. No reason not to bring him back. You know, we didn't get that last night in the post.
Yeah, and I guess if you were seriously considering it, how differently would you answer it? If you're the Joneses, you got a great relationship with Mike. If you're considering it, you're going to want to have it happen quietly and let him know first. You don't want to raise up his radar as he's conducting exit interviews or stuff like that. I could see it. I think Jeff's right on with that 91%, though. I would be surprised if they move on for Mike at this point.
I would be very surprised too myself, yeah.
Michael Gelkin, Morning News. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott disparaged fans for throwing bottles and debris at players. Then Prescott was told the fans were aiming for the officiating crew, and Prescott reacted, a credit to them then, advocating throwing stuff at officials. That's a major faux pas for fans these days. You know, it's one of the talking points, I think, for players and media members. I was surprised that he said that. I think it actually got dumped as I was listening to it at 105throughthefan.com. Because maybe it was a little scandalous or controversial or whatever. I like the honesty. I think Dak's human. I think that's what you saw last night with his vulnerability and with maybe his frustration with the fans. But I don't think that's the message that the NFL wants, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little fine in there for him. You know what I'm saying? A little
fine. And an apology later this week. Yeah, yeah, I didn't mean to say it like that. Heat in the moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I apologize, and here's some money for some kids.
Coach, exactly. Coach told me to say it.
Yeah. Might be accurate.
It's been Coach's mantra all year. The refs are screwing us.
Elsewhere in Cowboys Twitter, top tweets going viral, America's team. Marcus Spears, who, by the way, was on TV this morning with an exceptional beard trim.
Ah, the big swag you.
Yeah.
Big
swag goo.
Says, get rid of the coach. No way, bro. No damn way. I think that sums up a lot of the opinions of people that were watching that. It's just too good of a team to go out in the wild card. I think a lot of teams would fire their coaching staff to have this good of a team and go out.
This team's 4-11 in the playoffs, isn't it? Something like that. Some horrible record. Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott's 1-3, lost two games at home, one of them to Rodgers.
Jimmy G has more playoff wins than the Cowboys since the turn of the century.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just it's embarrassing.
It's an amazing.
It's rough.
Isn't it so funny how the 49ers absolutely hate their quarterback and the guy keeps winning?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a strange thing they got going.
They're trying everything they can to get them off the field.
Yeah.
And they win games.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know what the biggest difference is there. Obviously, a sophisticated running game, really good play on both lines of scrimmage, but that 49ers team is putting it together. Yeah. You know, in the Super Bowl with Kaepernick 10 years ago, in the Super Bowl 3 years ago with Jimmy, and now one win away from being in the NFC title game for like a fourth time since you were there.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how low they dip, and then they come flying back out of it. And it's frustrating because the Cowboys were such big rivals with them in the 90s. This was the first time, I think, since 98 that they were both in the playoffs at the same time.
It's funny, though, too, that the team lost seven games. Can you believe that? This year.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
What was Jimmy was hurt for a while.
A little bit. A couple games.
They lost four in a row.
Yeah. That's amazing. You think that team right there. I mean, and again, they tried to give it to you. They did. 251, three timeouts. They tried to. You just didn't want to take it today.
No, yeah, no, they were nervous. They you know, you could see on Shanahan's face.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It was nervous at the end when they were stretching to try and get the, you know, the like the when they catch the ball and Samuel catches the ball underneath and he's having to make a decision on fourth and one.
Yeah.
You know, and then they say, well, let's go for it, and they get the motion penalty, and all of a sudden now they're punting, you know?
All right. It is the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys Twitter. Tony Dungy, NBC Sports, tweeting, concerning the Cowboys, let's forget the last play in the clock. How about giving up 169 yards rushing, giving up five sacks, completing less than 60% of your passes, running for only 77 yards, and committing 14 penalties?
Yeah.
That's a lot more concerning than the last 14 seconds. You're right. I don't think we are wrong for at least pointing out. Now, I know the text is going to say, excuses, excuses, same old Cowboys media. I'm not making excuses. I'm doing journalism and documenting the fact that this year they got bad referee luck. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I don't think they have anything against the Cowboys. I think some, you know, some 50-50 calls happen in games, just like when you're playing poker, pure math. And some days you sit around there and 16 straight times the worst possible card falls on the river. You've been playing blackjack. You watch the dealers hit 5 and 6 card 21s. It's defying numbers. It's defying math how bad luck can happen to you. But I think in an NFL with only 17 games now, very short sample size, just coin flips. You know, hey, it's one and the other, 50-50. You'd be surprised how many times it can go 5, 6 times in a row on one. And I think the last 5 or 6 times the officiating decisions have impacted the Cowboys adversely compared to their opponent is accurate. Isn't that accurate? I'm not making excuses here, am I?
No, I think it's accurate. I just hate that the head coach is, it seems like, using that as his message to the team.
You're right
about
that.
It's like, oh, we got jobbed, boys.
Yeah.
Like, no, we committed 14 penalties, and that we can't do that. I just that part of it bothers me because I feel like it's hard for your players to be accountable for the screw-ups that they have when you're like, well, the refs jobbed us. It's like, well, what about the guy who jumped off sides twice? Well, hey, coach said the refs jobbed us, so, you know.
Yeah, I think it especially impacted Randy Gregory, who we love here at the radio station.
And even those could have been bad luck. At least one of those, I think, was a false start on Trent Williams.
The ankle move?
But they're, sometimes.
Is that ankle move called? Should it have been a false start?
It should have been called. Absolutely should have been called.
They're driving. They scored that drive.
Yeah.
Difference of the game.
Hey, if I can update something.
Sure.
Real quick. And, you know, with Jerry canceling us tomorrow, I found out some information why. Tomorrow, John Madden is having a private mass, a funeral for him.
Makes sense for Jerry to go to.
So, Jerry is, it's a private burial mass. For him.
It's now 99% McCarthy's
stay. Yeah, so just so it's not that they're trying to move on from coaches or stuff like that, but appreciate that information came across.
Yeah, thanks for passing that along. Sources close to Brian Broaddus, salute to you. Yep. Michael Gelkin, Morning News. Broncos contingent will be flying to Dallas to hold back-to-back Tuesday interviews with DC Dan Quinn and OC Kellen Moore for their head coach position. Broncos GM George Patton among those making the trip. He and Quinn work together in Miami. Cowboys DC Dan Quinn also has received interest from the Vikings, Dolphins, Bears, Jags for their head coach vacancy. None of those interviews are scheduled as of yet. It does suggest that Denver is by far the preferred destination for Dan Quinn. If so many coaches want that guy, doesn't that tell you how good he is?
Yeah.
I think so. I guess I'll just hope now that they're going to come take both. You know, take both of them. Package deal.
We'll figure this thing out without them.
There are no signs.
Co-head coach.
That we have heard nothing, though, right? Not Bobby Bell, not Brian Broaddus sources that they want to move on from Kellen Moore. The Cowboys still consider him an asset.
I have not heard anything. Again, conversations and stuff like that. Everybody's been like, you know, hey, there were some things that happened during the season that they needed to get better with, but nothing that they were interested in moving on from him.
Did you guys feel like they were going to win last night?
I did. I picked them to win. I picked them to win 28-23.
No, in the final minute.
I tell 40 you what,
seconds.
No. I think
at 250?
At 250, I would have said maybe
I was there.
I thought.
Yeah. I was totally there because I thought this guy is going to find a way to continue to move the ball. They're going to score, and they're not going to leave this quarterback with any time. And that's going to be okay with me. With the three timeouts, two-minute warning. Yeah. You know, I just kind of felt like that was the way it was going to go.
All right, great stuff, boys. Appreciate those insights here. Coming up next, Jeff, what would you like to talk about?
Well, a question and information. The question, who played well? And the information is the 14 reasons they lost. It's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, so apparently Dak swore. He said OS right before he said credit to them then. So that's why we dumped it last night. If you're wondering, if you were listening and you're like, why didn't I get that part? That's why. It is time now for some sporting conversations with Jeff. Segments brought to you by Soda. That's state-of-the-art and Rubin and Associates. Yeah, if you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. He'll talk to you personally. Take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call. Mark Rubin, Rubin and Associates, 1-800-LAWYERS. Jethro.
Yeah, I want to start with a question for the Cowboy fan and for you guys. Who played well in that game? You had a chance at the end to go win that game, but when you put all 60 minutes of it together and you try to come up with your list of who performed well out there on the field, how long is that list?
Less than five players.
I think I can get it to – I think I can stretch it to six.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I think. But
I'm including Brian Anger.
The way you do that is if you can count the special teamers, because Brian Anger was great.
He said, "You fools been holding me back."
Yeah,
Brian. Look Anger, at my stats.
He was out there. Yes, he was out there getting his shine on. He was the best quarterback on the field. He was one for one throwing the ball. It was an incredible ball for C.J. Goodwin, and he punted the hell out of the ball. So Brian Anger. Zuerlein made his kicks.
He did. He
made a field goal. Made a couple extra points. But when your list starts with your kicker and punter, I don't feel like you're headed down a good path.
No. I mean, some guys had to play well on defense to hold them to 23 and shut them down in the second half. I'm just not sure which ones.
I would say I thought that Tank played the way Tank always plays, where he was stout. He made some plays in the run game, chased one down, met one in the hole. I think you could give Tank and Micah.
Vander Esch was our player of the game last night.
Okay.
And a lot of it had to do, I mean, he had five solos, eight assists.
So he tackled Elijah Mitchell a lot.
Yeah, he exactly. And that was the thing, too. That stop he made, you know, on third down and five, that gave you a chance. I mean, that's all you can ask on defense to have one more chance, and he sure did.
I wish we would have tackled him 4 yards prior. I mean, it's just 4 yards, but after watching that play, I was like, oh, they're going to go for it. He got within 1 yard, but they didn't, so life's good. Dalton Schultz. I think Dalton Schultz played well.
Yeah, you can credit him.
I think Amari. Okay. I think Amari counts.
Yeah, he had 10 targets, 6 catches in that game last night.
Which isn't great, but having the touchdown, that's certainly a nice play. So I think my list could have Cooper, Schultz, Anger, Zuerlein, Vander Esch, Tank, Micah. I needed more than that.
Yeah, more than half, please.
I needed more than that.
One of the offensive linemen could have played well.
Wouldn't that have been nice?
Mm-hmm.
Even, I mean, I'm not sure how many mistakes Zach Martin had. But I know that the first possession, it was a stunt where Martin was just late trying to get over to Bosa, and he took it so far around that he couldn't get there. And it's like, even your all-pro, when you need some protection, it's like, yeah, whoops, my bad.
The thing that just was so disheartening is that they played half of that game without Bosa on the field, you know, and they were still able to kind of
make – That's the thing about Tyron in that game. That was not – household names and studs that were kind of giving him the business.
There were at least a half dozen plays where he was right back in Dak's lap.
He's trying to let it go, he's bumping into Tyron and the guy rushing him, which, look, as a quarterback, Minihu. Move.
Yeah,
like a Minihu.
Yeah.
Hook him, by the way, Texas Longhorn. Giving him trouble, that's not good. Good point. Now I move on to the 14 reasons the Cowboys lost the game. And this is going to sound familiar to a lot of games this year. Reason number one, Randy Gregory neutral zone infraction on the first play of the game. Have a first and five.
Yeah. Not the first time that's happened this year.
He had to get it out the way.
Reason number two, holding on a kickoff puts Dallas at their own 9-yard line instead of letting Tony Pollard have a good return.
Gifford.
Which Tony Pollard, man, he tried. I tell you, he tried to give you field position every time.
Yeah, that thing started up the sideline, and I thought he had a chance because it was so narrow along that near side. Well, that's the Cowboys sideline. And then Gifford, I mean, he's in bad position, you know.
Gifford also had a play where he just was trying to make a play in the run game, and he just kind of smashed into a defensive lineman in the side. And I was just like, where are you going, man? Yeah. When Micah got his bell rung, and it was – I did tell everybody that was sitting next to me, I was like, Mike will be back in a series or two. Yeah. He could fail whatever test is happening did right everybody, now, he's getting back in the
did
game.
Did everybody just look at you and go, what the F? Where is he? Did they do one of those things? The crowd always
I did.
Does
well,
that.
I pointed it out because I saw it happen when he was walking off, and I saw him being walked, and I was like, he's going to the tent. That's not good. But I promise he'll pass the test. It'll be fine.
How many fingers am I holding up, kid? I'm from Philadelphia. Get back in there.
Get in there. You got it, buddy.
Yeah, I think Nick Bosa's injury was remarkably similar.
Okay.
I thought that was a neck injury, to be honest with you, the way his head got rocked back a little bit on that one,
Part of an addendum to reason number two here, the hold on the kickoff return of Pollard's. So he was healthy enough to resume his role as the kick returner.
Mm-hmm. Huge difference.
But he got four carries.
Yeah.
You've told me by putting him back at kick return where it had been Clement that he's healthy, it's fine.
I'm changing my vote.
But he got four carries.
I'm changing my vote. Kelly needs to be fired.
Okay. I support that. Reason number three, the Cowboys lost. Connor Williams' holding penalty erases a 32-yard play to CeeDee Lamb.
Beautiful throw, beautiful move in the pocket, Lamb being open, yeah.
Now, it's not fair to just be like, if you didn't hold, we had 32 yards, because if he didn't hold, Dak's probably getting sacked because Connor Williams was busy getting dump truck.
You know, it's better off if Connor Williams, instead of trying to make the block, just lets the guy run over him. Seriously.
Yeah, just fall back.
Just fall in the way. Hope you trip him along the way. Don't put your arms up because his body balance was so bad that he's leaning forward. He's trying to, like, you know, he's trying to kind of get back. But he's hooking the guy with his arm. Just fall backwards and let the guy run over you. Don't even put your arms up.
Be a man. Take that punishment, sir. Yeah.
I'll tell you, Lyle Collins got run back, too, one time by Bosa. Got a guy under his pads a little bit, too. Yeah.
Reason number four, the Cowboys. Oh, by the way, the Connor Williams, I need to note here. The Connor Williams hold, that was a drive ender.
Yeah.
So that backed you up enough to where your drive was over.
I thought that guy, he was hitting a spin move and kind of tripped on the legs underneath. And Williams' hands, I think, went up to protect himself from the falling 300-pounder coming down on him.
Well, this arm was the problem.
Yeah.
It was hooked?
Yeah. It was hooked.
That arm was the problem. He was falling down and bringing a man with him.
Yeah.
That's against the rules.
Can't do that.
That was a drive ender.
Okay. I gotta look at the coach's film on this one.
Okay.
I swear it looks like that because the guy tried a spin move and tripped and was coming down on him, and Connor's hands went up just to brace the fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I believe the spin move smoked him, and then he was off
balance.
And
then he hooked from down below.
He was trying to recover. He was like, oh, God.
Either way, it looked like a cow. I'm not complaining that the officials called it. I just thought it was bad luck.
Reason number four, the Cowboys lost. Third and five, Randy Gregory, neutral zone infraction. That is what we call a drive extender.
Mm-hmm.
So penalty number three was a drive ender. Penalty number four was a drive extender for the other team.
Is that the second time he did that in the game?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Reason number five, the Cowboys lost this game. Lyle Collins holding puts Dallas out of field goal range just before halftime.
Yeah.
That is what we call a drive ender. Now, technically, if there was no sun, I guess you could have gotten back into range, maybe. But that backed you up. Two drive enders, one drive extender there. Reason number six, the Cowboys lost this game. We had a sweet halftime show. There's a guy that could dance real good with some other dancing people. And then the cheerleaders were dancing too, doing their thing. Great show. And then they came out to play more football. And the Cowboys decided to false start on 3rd and 4 and then false start on 3rd and 9.
You don't deserve a good halftime show. It should be a guy spinning plates with a seal or something.
That would be a great halftime show.
I'm just saying.
You do not talk bad about the plate spinning people.
Oh, you know some of them personally?
No. I just really enjoy the plate spinning, and I like the people who put themselves in boxes.
I just feel like you can get them for $75.
Yeah, and that's the best part.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing beats the Frisbee dogs, though.
Frisbee dogs are great.
Frisbee dogs, they can...
Especially on a football field.
It's a 100-yard run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get that thing down there.
Yeah.
Those two false starts, that's a drive ender. Now it's 3rd and 14. So that is drive ender, drive extender, drive ender, drive ender. Reason number 7. The Cowboys lost the game. Micah Parsons, neutral zone infraction, takes 2nd and 10 to 2nd and 5. Reason number 8, the Cowboys lost this game. Cedric Wilson, block in the back, erases a 8-yard Dalton Schultz catch.
Yeah.
Dak is sacked on the next play and then throws a pick on 2nd and 28. So if you wanted to stretch it, you could say drive ender. But, yeah, Cedric Wilson blocking in the back when you don't need to. Just let your receiver run and gain his yards. Maybe he gets 2 less, but you don't get a penalty. Reason number 9, the Cowboys lost this game, delay of game out of a successful fake punt. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I don't think the offense knew that they were going to run a second play. That's the problem.
I don't know what the fake punt team who was still on the field's plan was going to be to go up against an actual defense, because they had a full D-line, linebacker, secondary.
They had a second.
And they were lined up like they were going to run a wildcat play. That wasn't going to work because they have a real defense out there and you don't have a real offense out there.
I was to the point where I was even watching the official handle the kicking ball thinking, oh, wait, they're going to put a new ball in the play. It's going to be a normal offensive ball, you know, and the kicking ball guy was kind of like hesitating. I think there was hesitation. Bones was trying to hold the offense back on the sidelines. And then all of a sudden, somebody made the call to send the offense back on the field.
Well, it only works if they send their special teams out, right? At that point, the jig is up.
Yeah.
If they send their special teams out to defend your punt, but they left the regular defense on,
yeah,
right?
They were punt safe.
Because they knew it was fake. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe you're trying to cue it up and get them to burn a timeout. Like, oh, are they going to run another play? This is wild. But their defense is like, I dare you to run a play.
Mike said they had a second play ready with that punt team. Yeah.
Noah Brown was going to take the snap and run forward for 0 yards.
See, I think that's where a great coach goes, guys, they left their defense in there.
Yeah, like what? No.
It's not going to work.
We're going to put the offense in.
They would call the timeout to get their special teams off the field.
I'm surprised they faked the punt, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of had to with, 9 minutes to play? Something like that.
Why don't you just go for it then?
By the way, extra shout out.
Going for it was bad and not working. Offense was bad. He's like, let's get the punter
throw. Let me tell you what, not a good game for analytics for two teams that are kind of analytics teams, right?
In terms of their decision making,
kind of like 4th and 1's not going for it, 4th and 2's not going for it,
for sure. And at least I was very thankful 4th and 1 they didn't go for it,
because
you feel like they're going to get that, and it's like, thank you for not. I appreciate it. Cowboys had a 4th and 2. I wish they would have gone for. Reason number 10: the Cowboys lost the game. Defensive holding gives them 5 extra yards. Reason number 11:
is that Randy?
Yes.
Okay.
Reason 11. That the Cowboys lost the game is illegal use of the hands.
Oh,
automatic
Gallimore.
First down.
Hands to the face?
San Francisco failed on 3rd and 12.
I'll tell you what.
You got to be able to feel your hands holding a face mask, sir.
Well, he knocked that guy's helmet basically off his head. I'll tell you this, though. They missed several hands to the face, too, when Michael Parsons was rushing.
Yeah.
They did miss it.
They do not call penalties for Micah Parsons very often.
They don't.
Unless it's a blatant hold.
They don't. And there was hands to the face a couple different times that they missed on him.
Well, the illegal use of the hands is what we call a drive extender. It was 3rd and 12, and now it's 1st and 10.
Allowed him to kill more time off the clock, too.
Yeah. We have a holding on 3rd and 11 that was declined.
Declined.
Because the Cowboys also didn't make the play to make them want to accept it. And number 13 would be Randy Gregory, defensive holding. So the other one was a different defensive holding. Gave San Francisco a 1st down after the 2-minute warning.
That's when he tackled the guard.
That we call a drive extender, ladies and gentlemen, which the Cowboys totaled 14 penalties for 89 yards. 4 of those penalties essentially ended a drive for your offense, and 3 of them stopped the 49ers from punting you the ball back. That is 7 drives. that a Cowboys penalty killed you or let them off the hook. And that is bad. Stop committing all the penalties. Stop losing the football.
Keep this up. They'll get a sponsorship with Extends for next season.
Ooh, I like that, though. That's a good bit.
Good tie-in.
That's a good bit.
Jerry's like, guys, I know you've been messing up. I monetize it, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe keep it up.
Everybody gather around. Got some D stuff for you. Free product.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We certainly are. Even though they lost, it's been a lot of fun to have some therapeutic commiserating with you here over these broadcast airwaves. When we come back, what do we have here planned? Let me we're pretty much just mailing it in, but let's talk about off-season priorities coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, sound off on this one. When it comes to the players, what are the biggest things to improve going into next season as far as position groups? What's realistic to expect? To me, you know, I'll just throw it out there. At 24, if there's a good left guard or center on the board, you don't even think about it. Just boom, we're done there. We'll take your thoughts on the text. We'll get Brian and Jeff's thoughts here in just a second. Cut 12, Stephen Jones with KNC earlier. Will you focus on building the O-line? Here we go.
Too early to really say just yet, in my opinion. I mean, obviously we had some real highs on the offensive side of the ball. We were still one of the more, higher ranked offenses in the league. We certainly had points, especially in the second half of the season where we struggled. But it's just way too early to say, you know, offense, defense, way too early to get involved in where we might focus. The biggest thing is, you know, how strongly we feel as an organization that you do have to build through the draft. We've got, a great nucleus to build on here of young players. And certainly just added to that this year with a player like Micah. When Kendall Joseph got his opportunities, he stepped up. Osa played well. Chauncey got some great experience out there. So, you know, a lot of good young guys to build off of. But we'll certainly, as we move forward, we'll be evaluating our football team. And certainly what's available in the draft, but it's real difficult for us with where we are under the cap. Obviously with now we're paying a franchise quarterback.
I don't know. I get it. He's the GM and all that, and he's got to be diplomatic and everything. But it's like, hey, do you need to get your offensive line better? Yes, absolutely. You know, you can't win like that. If you're going to try to pass it so much and you can't pass protect, it's over. If you're bringing Dak and Kellen back and the plan is we're going to pass it to victory, you need better coverage. You might need a new left tackle as well, you know. Now, he mentioned the cap there towards the end. With the cap going up, will it make it easier for the Cowboys to throw around some money? Here we go.
No, I mean, you know, that's built into most of these contracts.
Okay.
And, as we start to where there is no question, that we're going to have our challenges with the salary cap. And I don't see a major acquisitions buying through free agency. That's just not the way, you know, we feel in terms of the best way to build a football team. And we just feel like it's buying through the draft and, you know, to pay your homegrown talent, which, I do think, the encouraging thing is we do have a lot of good young players that are going to be coming up that we'll have to make some decisions on. And certainly we've got some guys that we've paid that will, it's a homegrown football team. And
Yeah, that's about good right there as well. I appreciate Stephen Jones coming on 105.3 The Fan. So that the cap going up won't help them spend. They aren't sure what they need right now. To you guys, as the offseason starts now, what is your top priority?
The offensive line. Because I think, to your point, if you're going to ask Dak Prescott, Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy-led team to be the reasons that you win football games, you've got to be able to protect him, because you also don't have the other option. Because the other option is like, no, we're going to lean on the running game. What running game?
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Zeke averaged 3.5 yards a carry after the bye. He got 2.6 in that game. And that's the guy that you were giving the football to the most against light boxes. So, yeah, it's the offensive line. You've got to figure out what is our best solution to get better at left guard, center, and be open to the idea of what's going on at left tackle. I think on the whole, Tyron had a good year, but the end of it was not good. The end of it was against guys who aren't supposed to be able to dominate Tyron Smith, kind of dominating Tyron Smith.
That sucked.
You got to figure out the O-line.
Yeah, I kind of and again, going through Dane Brugler's top 50 players so far, I'm looking at these, my numbers here. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've seen 7 tackles. I've seen 3 guards and 1 center. So this tells you that if you're looking at all those, you know, you look at that number right there of players in the top 50.
Good shape.
If you're picking at 24, maybe the right guy is there for you. Maybe that guy's there that you can play at guard the first year, and then with Tyron Smith, if you have to move on or something happens with Tyron, that you can shuffle your guard out to tackle and play and be fine. But this draft will allow you to have some top guys in that when you're picking right there, and I think that's a good thing.
So the Cowboys are going to pick at like 24 and 56, or
yeah.
So they'll have 2 picks around the top 50,
yeah,
and they'll be in great shape to pick one of those at 24.
I'm going to go with the same combination, and I'm thinking about that I went with last year with, but they got Parsons, and I'm not you know, that's a great pick. That there's nothing wrong with the Parsons pick. But I think I might try and flip it this time around. I might try and go linebacker first and then turn around and draft an offensive tackle or a guard at that second round pick, depending on how things stretch.
Might be your best for your value.
Yeah, Jeff and I have talked about Nakobe Dean from Georgia. You know, he's a 6-foot, 225-pound guy that just makes every single tackle. And I'll give you another name, this Devin Lloyd from Utah. He's 6'3". He's 232 pounds. You put either one of those guys with, say, Jabril Cox, and then also with Micah Parsons, your linebacker room looks a lot better. And then you turn around and grab one of those guards at the second round, or maybe one of those tackles slides through to your spot. But I think you could kind of help yourself in both spots if you wanted to.
Can you go best player available? This is kind of where it gets tempting, where a weakness ended your season. Can you just roll?
I think you can still do it. I think you should still do it, and then kind of adjust accordingly. And the good thing is that you can also move around, right? You can go up, you can go down, you can do what you got to do so that if you do pick a player at a position that you're like, man, I'd really like to have this position, and he's not going to be the best one available when you pick, you can go get him.
Yeah.
You can drop back and make it closer to that too. So I think you can make that work. You don't pass up the best player available.
I think I'm more in line after watching a few highlights of this Iowa center, trading up from 24 if we got to do it.
Yeah, we just need him to, we need to make that.
I just feel like it doesn't matter how good your defense gets this offseason. Oh, you've invested in your defense. It's a pretty good defense now. Now, you're going to need help at safety and linebacker for sure, but I just think we got to get back to being able to run the football efficiently.
If I told you this guy was Jason Kelce, you'd be okay with that, right?
For sure.
Okay. That's who this player is.
Heck yeah.
He's an undersized center that is more about position than he is mauling people. And really what's going on in this draft is these linemen are huge. Most of them are 328 pounds, 337 pounds. He's kind of the exception. He's a little bit of the lighter guy that I've seen that's super athletic. But, again, I put in my notes, this guy reminds me of Jason Kelce in the way he plays because he's always, like, reaching, scooping. He's always getting the second level. He's a super athletic guy. But you don't see him, you know, always getting overpowered and stuff for being a guy that's 292 pounds.
918 wants to know, gut feeling, is there any way Tyron Smith retires this offseason?
I hadn't heard anything about it.
Shout out to Oklahoma.
I've always said that I would not be surprised if Tyron's a guy that leaves the sport at some point where he's just like, yeah, a lot of things are beat up and I'm good here.
Yeah.
Well, the way that it ended for him last night with not playing one of his better games, I mean, that might be one of those situations. I don't think he'd want to go out that way.
Yeah.
I think he would like to try and come back and, you know, and give it another go. But that didn't end too well for him last night.
Sometimes the all-time greats, when they get below that standard, they just hate the idea of what it looks like on tape, and they got
to
go.
Well, Travis Frederick.
Yeah.
You know, Travis Frederick got to the point where he's like, listen, I'm not playing like I once did. I don't want to play like this anymore.
So what are the spots, let's start with Jeff, that you're like, we can get by. Let's take Reese. We don't need help at, what, defensive tackle?
His corner? I would put defensive tackle at the top of go get me one. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's part of, like, that game against San Francisco, it was the first quarter in a lot of ways that I feel like doomed the Cowboys. And it was because your defensive line got their butt kicked for the first two drives, just washed out of everywhere. Nobody able to establish the line, hold the line, play on their side of the line. It's just a bunch of dudes getting washed out of the way. I would prioritize getting a big boy. I want a 340-pound dude to put out there that ain't getting moved. I think that's what the football world is, and there's always going to be divergent paths, right? The Ravens play this way, the Niners play this way, but for the most part, I think you're going to a world where you play with two deep safeties.
Yeah.
You ask your front four to control the line with less resources, and the Cowboys can't do that because I don't think they're good enough in the middle.
Is Jordan Davis get to 24?
Probably. Jordan Davis is like a 360-pound dude at Georgia.
Yeah.
That will
6'6".
He might have zero career sacks, but he also will never be moved. So how high do you pick that? No pass rush.
24, that's like right on the edge of your first-round grades, probably.
It's probably right around where he would go, I would think.
Yeah.
Guy like that with a limited skill set, if you will. Like he's not going to be a pass rusher, but he will absolutely be a guy that you could say, hey, we're going to stop the run with four guys.
Yeah.
Because of him. Like he's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up next, it is time for some Jeffrey time. LT Impel, Cone Heffrey. And where are we headed, sir?
Tales from a Cowboy game. G-Bag Nation presents You Make the Call. This 49er fan that got thrown out. Should he have been? It's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.